This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The way you interact with your city is in for an upgrade. The City of San Antonio is partnering with Geekdom and CivTech SA to come up with new tech solutions to some problems that are as old as cities themselves. Cities have always been difficult to manage and navigate, and they can be stressful. How can digital technology turn San Antonio into a smart city where solutions are at your fingertips, or they're available to you even before you notice them? And this is going to take a community to get involved to make this work. Are you ready to join the smart city revolution? How do you think this is going to help you and improve the local quality of life? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet at us at tprsource. Our guests this hour are Joyce Dooley. She's the program manager for CivTech SA residency program at Geekdom. Also with us is Jose de la Cruz, chief innovation officer for the City of San Antonio's Office of Innovation. And Tija Guda is with us. He's associate director for the Center for Innovation, Technology, and Entrepreneurship and assistant professor of biomedical engineering at the University of Texas at San Antonio. It's great to have you here this afternoon.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So this is fascinating. Joyce, so tell me more about what CivTech SA is up to and how these tech solutions could be coming down the pike.
Yeah, absolutely. So the CivTech SA program is a really exciting initiative that the city has come together with the Geekdom Community Center to launch for our city. It is modeled off of the Startup and Residence program out in San Francisco that's been around for a couple of years, but San Antonio has put its own little twist on it by adding an education component. And so there's about four different pillars to our program, and I can break them down for you. The first one would be the residency program, which is currently in action. We released an RFP application out to the city for our entrepreneurs and our startups to apply for a 16-week residency where they have the opportunity to solve a handful of civic challenges and then embed within city office departments for those 16 weeks working on custom solutions. And then there will be a demo day presentation at the end where they have the ability to pitch their solutions to the city and the community, and the city has the opportunity to purchase those solutions.
So you've already released like the seven areas, the civic challenges that are available to people to take a look at. And so, Jose de la Cruz, how did y'all arrive at that these were the areas that you thought these were the nails that needed to be hammered first?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So first of all, thank you for having me on the show today. So we actually put a call out to our city departments. We have over 40 city departments at the city, and asked them sort of what were their most pressing challenges that they were facing today. We got responses back from each of those departments and kind of whittled those down to these seven. So internally, we put them through a scoring process, looking at sort of what ones were feasible for a startup to do within the 16-week period that we're asking them to do this, which ones would have a big impact to the community. And out of those, these seven kind of rose to the top. And so it covers a few city departments, from our animal care services to our aviation department, our economic development department, as well as our human services department as well. So looking at these, we felt these were the ones that startups could tackle within 16 weeks. And it's something that we know will impact the community as well.
We'll dive into these individual challenges in more detail in a little bit. But let me go over to Tija Guda and at the Center of Innovation, Technology, and Entrepreneurship at the UTSA. Talk about the power of a startup and why is a startup capable of doing something that the city itself can't do?
Thank you for that question. So the entrepreneurs are the critical part in all of this. And a large part of what we're doing in terms of the training at the university has to do with making sure that we're basically providing the city and the local community with the next generation of tech entrepreneurs. So they're getting a lot of training in the basic science and engineering that's required to come up with the solutions. And we're trying to harness their unbridled enthusiasm to take on the biggest, grandest challenges around and put their own mark on it, which is the whole view that these entrepreneurs are bringing to these challenging problems. And as we're looking at smart cities for the future, we're looking at a continuous stream of student teams that are driven to help solve those problems for the cities they live in. And the partnership with Geekdom as well as the city is going to be crucial in making sure that these programs are successful.
But Joyce, you know a lot about startups.
I do.
So talk about that. I mean, is you think about startups as having a lot of crazy manic energy, people who are trying to say, let's tear everything down, let's start from scratch. How would we rethink this problem from the very beginning using all the tools that we have now today? Because cities like San Antonio is 300 years old. We've had problems with stray dogs, trash, and trying to move people from one side of the city to the other since the very beginning. So now we're trying to use the new technology to solve old problems, and startups say we can take a chainsaw to that stick of butter and figure things out, right?
I think that's a really interesting way to describe it, for sure. A chainsaw to a stick of butter. I think what's really exciting about the entrepreneur community in general is that it really requires a brave individual to step out on their own to begin with an idea and say, I'm going to do something. And then to be able to say, I'm going to do something for my community is even more thrilling. There's an agility there with being a startup. You have to be lean, which means that you have to always be looking for ways to consistently improve your processes in order to address the needs of your customers, the needs for your own company as you're growing and changing. And the city has been doing a really good job of opening up doorways to better communicate with those individuals like the startups and the entrepreneurs here in a way that other cities haven't yet figured out how to do. So in some of my travels before I got to the CivTech SA program, one of the biggest things that I heard from these subject matter experts or these startups was, I have all of these ideas and I know how I can make improvements. I can't get involved with my decision makers in my community. So do you know of any way that I can do that? And I think San Antonio's answered that call pretty clearly with this invitation.
Another thing about startups is like they like to push things out quick. You know, it's not, let's talk about this for a long time. I mean, is that true, or and how does that fit with this?
Well, there's a lot of strategy that goes into unrolling a startup. I think that some people could be a little impetuous with their decisions, but I think the need to push things out quickly isn't a matter of not being strategic about it, but needing to execute quickly because they're growing and they absolutely have to be meeting those customer needs. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to carry that momentum forward. But with the city, I think this is an injection of new ideas and new abilities that they haven't necessarily been able to deal with, because the city has the job of running the city. Solving challenges in a new way they're not always able to do that. And so by unrolling the red carpet and inviting our student communities and our entrepreneurs to take a stab at it, I think is just a really great thing. And maybe Jose can speak a little bit more about what the city has to say on that side.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So, I mean, we are in the business of running the city from a day-to-day perspective. My office specifically is charged with looking at sort of what's next on the horizon and how can we better expand our capacity for innovation. And so I think that's where this program fits very nicely, is that it helps us to now branch out from outside of our walls into the tech community and sort of see what developing technology is out there that we can utilize to solve some of these challenges. And I think additionally, you know, we start to design these solutions from the outside in instead of the inside out, which is extremely important.
So using the power of technology and the enthusiasm of startups and certainly the enthusiasm of young people, trying not to maximize profits but to maximize quality of life in a city, how do you think this is going to impact you? Do you have any ideas that can be turned into a digital solution for the city of San Antonio? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We'll talk about these specific seven civic challenges from CivTech SA when we come back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio officials are encouraging local entrepreneurs and tech communities to help solve some of the city's most pressing technological dilemmas. A unique residency program called CivTech SA will embed startups within various city departments to find fixes for any of these seven civic challenges. And we're talking about those challenges this afternoon and what technology, the 21st century thinking, that's part of the fore part of this technology. If you don't know how to think with this technology, it's not going to do you a whole lot of good. And how this can improve quality of life in San Antonio. We invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And Tija, tell me about, when I say the thinking that's involved here, what did I mean by that? You know,
In a lot of ways, whether it's cities or organizations like universities or even established programs, we're all bound by rules. So in a lot of ways, bringing in young minds who are not inhibited by those rules allows them to come up with disruptive ideas. So we come up with new age solutions or brand new ways of thinking because they're not really sticking to what they've been told to do. They're trying to come up with their own spin on it. And that has a lot of potential for really improving our quality of lives in a way that the future generation wants to live it.
So when we say improving our quality of lives, that can mean things like figuring out finding the dog that you want at the dog shelter, or trying to do something about the overpopulation of dogs and getting the, matching the right dog to the right owner. And that seems to be a challenge number one. Joyce, can you talk about that a little bit? I mean, how does that? Why is technology needed for that? You just go to the dog pound and pick out a dog, right?
Well, I think that, you know, as we move forward and things become, we become busier than we had anticipated we would be, which I think is a growing problem for a lot of people. You don't necessarily have the time during the week or on the weekends to visit all of the shelters or the SPCA to go pick out the pet that you would like. So this is a way to quickly streamline that by giving you direct access for when those pets that meet your description come in. So you can either make plans to go pick them up quickly, or maybe you can contact the shelter and ask how long they'll be around. So that way you can make time on the weekends, and we can hope to find permanent homes for these animals.
So are we just talking about apps, creating apps for these types of problems? You know, create an app that has all the dogs on it at the shelter.
You don't necessarily need to have an app, I don't think, in order to address some of these things. There are ways that you can sort of connect these things and potentially send out text notifications or email notifications that aren't app related. But I think that as these solutions are being developed and people, the entrepreneurs, those startups are working with the city, they're going to figure out what's going to work best for the city and its residents. So I'm not certain at this point that we can say that it's going to be an app.
Right, because, I mean, that's the problem is you can create great apps all day long, but if you don't train people to use them, they're not going to do a whole lot of good.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there are a lot of apps that were put into the App Store that maybe get downloaded onto someone's phone and then deleted very quickly. And creating a mobile app specifically for all of the San Antonio animal shelters might be very limiting and wouldn't be as effective as finding a different way to engage.
All right, I'm going to go to the caller. The number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about making San Antonio a smart city, and EJ is on the line. EJ, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, David. I just have a couple of quick comments. One is I was actually at both the CivTech event that was held, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, and I've been part of San Antonio's Code for America in the past. One thing I took away from all those events, all those experiences, is that amongst the actual developer community that often shows up to this place, there's a sense that it's more so the city has a fairly strong idea of what it wants, and it's less innovation, and it's more of like we're looking for contractors. That was my first comment. The second one, even though I support all these programs, I think they're wonderful. The second question had was I'd spoken to, I believe, the gentleman from the city's Office of Innovation on the idea of the city making data more available, and the data I was speaking to was more of like restaurant inspections. So I'd created something that worked with restaurant inspections, but the city had actually removed the data source. So I just wanted to know, has the city ever thought about just making its data more easily available and using that, like data, as a way to spur people to innovate? They say, hey, here's all our data. Do whatever you can with it in a safe manner that helps the city.
All right, EJ, we appreciate that. So the issue of trying to parse out the difference between what would be the city saying, I always want a contractor, or a city saying, we want innovators. So Jose de la Cruz, you're the chief innovation officer for the City of San Antonio's Office of Innovation. I mean, how do you see it?
Yeah, so I mean, in this particular program with these challenges, we haven't really put any parameters around what we want at the end. We want the startups to get creative. We want them to bring what they think is the best solution to the table. And in terms of that, I mean, they're working over the course of the 16 weeks with the city department hand in hand. And so this is a partnership. So as they get to explore the problem more in depth, as they get their hands on the data that currently exists, you know, that solution will occur organically. And that's what we've seen, as Joyce mentioned, with the Startup and Residency Program in San Francisco. So the city hasn't necessarily said, we want an app for this or we want an app for that. We want to see what creative solutions can come out of this, and then we'll go from there. In reference to the data comment, we are internally looking at ways to push our data out. You know, our IT department, along with our innovation department, are working on what are the best sort of data sets that need to go out first. And that's all part of being a smart city, is using the data that you have and releasing what you can to the public so that they can make you know, some better use of it as well. So we're working on both of those things, and I hope to make EJ proud sometime soon.
It is public data, after all.
It is, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so he was looking for restaurant information. We know we have the health inspectors, and people like to know what score a restaurant got. And we have the grade in, now available when you go. But what other kind of data sets are out there? I know people were interested in bicycle information and other things.
Yeah, so currently what we have online, we've got a few different things. So you can go out and see what service requests are currently out in your neighborhood. We've got a map for that on our city's website. Also crime-related statistics for your neighborhood as well, if that's something that interests you. And so we've got a variety of data sets, from financial information. Our city's budget is online electronically, and so you can go and see where the money is being allocated to. But as we sort of move along on this, you know, we know that we've got a lot of data sets that are out there that could be useful and beneficial to the public, and so we're working through parsing through those.
You know, I would like to have real-time garbage pickup, like knowing exactly where that garbage truck is, to see if maybe I missed it, or how far is it away, or can I get more? Because sometimes you got to kind of look down the block and see, did that guy get his garbage picked up, or where is the garbage truck? You know, is that something like that that's outside of the realm of information that can be made available to public?
I mean, I'd have to see sort of what we have in place today to see if we've got that capability. But I don't think it's outside of the realm of the possibility of what technology is out there today. So if that's an issue or a challenge that rises, then that's something that we could potentially tackle.
All right. Well, our phone lines are open. If you got a question or comment or an idea how technology can be used to improve your quality of life in San Antonio, reduce your stress, get more bang for your tax dollar. And so can you talk about that, Jose de la Cruz, about how this is a program that basically will maximize tax dollars?
Yeah, so absolutely. So, I mean, I'll take the animal care services example that you gave. You know, we have over 30,000 cats and dogs that come into our shelter every year, about 120,000 visitors that visit ACS. And sometimes they come looking for a specific breed, a specific pet. It's a very personal decision for folks, because they want that forever friend. And when they leave, if they don't find it, sometimes that dog comes in the next week, right? And that dog can be in the shelter for some time. We want to be more proactive with these things by notifying them that, hey, your forever friend is here, so that pet doesn't sit in that shelter and we can get it to its new family in a hurry. That helps everybody out, from getting the dogs off the street and getting them through the shelter in a quicker manner, so that then we can go out and do some more of what we need to do as a city. So I think it helps everybody in the end if we can improve those services.
Now, we got an email comment about extensive requirements to enter the CivTech SA program, such as complex paperwork and large insurance requirements. That's from an emailer. And so, Joyce Dooley?
Yeah, so, you know, at the end of the day, we need to remember that we are dealing with city data, and we are dealing with working for the city. And so while the city has worked really diligently to streamline and improve the application process so that the RFP is more accessible to startups out there, it is a city. And so the data that they are allowing access to is sensitive, and these are some of the requirements that are open to all contractors or all people who are working with the city. Those are the limitations and liabilities associated with that.
Is this a concern about privacy that we may have? Or?
No. I mean, I think that it's just the sort of the reality of some of these challenges that you're working on.
Yeah, and just to kind of, you know, piggyback off what Joyce is saying, I mean, any RFP that we release comes with certain conditions that we've got to fulfill. This is very similar. My office, you know, tried as much as we could to streamline the process. But in the end, you know, if we're putting out an RFP, there are certain conditions that we need to meet. So We look to improve that process as well as we move forward with the program.
Well, and I want to speak really quickly, too, about the availability of the Office of Innovation and Geekdom's collaboration together. We've really worked hard making sure that we understand what's going on within the RFP process and how that could impact or invite our entrepreneurship and startup communities to participate. So we have set up within the Geekdom community a series of resources to address this, as well as working within the finance department with the city so that way people's questions can be answered.
So then tell me how this works, though. So someone hears this program, they like to code, they can do things, they've got some ideas, and maybe they're not a member of Geekdom yet, but do they just go down there and talk to you, or how would this program?
Well, they don't have to be a member of Geekdom in order to participate or to access me. You know, there's information on the CivTech SA website where you can contact us directly, and I will respond via email, and I'll get you connected to the appropriate parties. And also, to the entrepreneur communities, there are other opportunities in order to work with City Data and with the CivTech SA program that are not contingent upon the residency program.
And Tisha Gutha at UTSA, how does this help students?
It helps students because it allows them firsthand to work on real-world problems. So most of them talk about how they may or may not be prepared for life after graduation. In a lot of these cases, they're kind of seeing what the world is outside that they're going to face the minute they graduate. And at UTSA, there's a ton of resources for them. I mean, if they're kind of students right now in terms of either forming a company, and there's existing partnerships with Geekdom and other avenues as well in terms of incubating them within San Antonio to help solve some of these problems.
And some of these problems are like at the airport. That's the challenge number two of trying to come up with passenger needs and make the airport experience more pleasant. But will it fly me out of San Antonio any faster, Jose?
it probably won't help with the departure time, but it will help you navigate what is, can sometimes be a crazy process to get through the airport, especially on high travel days, right? And so we want to make it easier for our nearly 8.3 million passengers that go through our airport every year to ensure that, they're able to get through there in a quick and easy way. And they know all the amenities that are available for them as they're waiting for their flight, or in the event that their flight gets delayed, that they can take advantage of some of those amenities as well.
But so it seems like this is something that would take advantage of the technology that a person will probably already have on their person, be able to not necessarily be a downloadable app, but are there other ways? I mean, is that what you're thinking, Joyce? Or how do y'all go about figuring this out?
Well, again, I think that, this is an open invitation for these innovators and these entrepreneurs to come in and work with the city to figure out what works best for San Antonio and its residents and the needs of the residents.
So would they just map out an idea and they would send it to you and you guys pick among them? I know you have a demo day.
Well, we do have a demo day, and that's after the residency program where the residents can present to the city and the community at large. But there's a special selection committee that's involved that's independent of Geekdom and my direct involvement. So I get to ideate and I can talk, the entrepreneurs and the startups through the application process. And I can also refer to the other programs that we have and make opportunities for them to contribute that way as well. But there's an independent selection committee that's the ultimate decider on who gets to participate.
And this is basically a competition among cities. The cities that become the smartest, the fastest, are going to find an advantage in many ways and as being able to conquer the future. San Antonio certainly is trying to win that race, and you have a stake in it. You can give us a call with your question or comment. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about tech solutions for San Antonio's civic challenges. More when we come back on The Source. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Tech solutions for civic challenges for San Antonio. How can new technology make things better for quality of life here? We're joined by Joyce Dooley, Program Manager for the CivTech SA Residency Program at Geekdom. Also, Jose de la Cruz, the Chief Innovation Officer for the City of San Antonio's Office of Innovation. And Tisha Gutha, he is the Associate Director for the Center for Innovation, Technology, and Entrepreneurship and Assistant Professor of Biomedical Engineering at the University of Texas at San Antonio. They have seven challenges available for people who are schooled in technology and who could come up with new solutions. And We've talked about, too, the airport and also at ACE, at the Animal Care Services, finding the right pet for you there. But another one is about using downtown. San Antonio's downtown center is trying to – what is that, Jose? What are y'all trying to tackle here?
So that's a one-pass transportation program that we're trying to initiate there. So there's a lot of, you know, once you go into the downtown area, there's a few transportation options. You know, you can do B-cycle, you can take VIA at different various points, and also our river barges. So the thinking there is, how do we consolidate that into a single user experience? Parking is also an issue downtown as well. And so how do we consolidate all of that? So if you're coming downtown, you have one single point method of which you can buy a pass for transportation in the downtown area. We get a lot of visitors. We get a lot of residents that come downtown. And so it's something that our Center City Development and Operations Office identified as something that they wanted to tackle.
And any thoughts on that, Joyce?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is definitely a way to make that happen. That would not necessarily be solely application-based. That would be a unified payment portal across three different platforms. And when I say platforms, I mean service providers. So the Go Rio, the B-Cycle, and the Via Metro Transit System.
But frequently, like, we've had, like, a parking app that's available for a long time already for downtown San Antonio, and it tells you where parking spaces might be available. But, you know, it doesn't really talk already to the, you know, my GPS system that I'm already using. So getting everything to talk to each other, and so that I, as a user, don't have to disengage from one thing to engage another thing, or even have to have the knowledge that this other service exists. It just seems like, you know, trying to do more to take the burden off the user to know what's out there, and people expect information and solutions to come to them before they even know they have a problem. I mean, that seems to be the great promise of this new type of technology.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, a seamless user experience is definitely something that not just, you know, the city of San Antonio is really looking for, but a lot of cities are looking to, especially from a transportation and mobility perspective. You know, we have a really diverse set of people here, and as we have tourism, you know, down in our downtown centers, like, being able to provide a seamless option for our residents and the tourists that are here to hop off the B-Cycle, to get onto the Go Rio taxi, to then catch the bus to go back to their hotels is a really big deal, and it's something that we're excited about figuring out.
And Tija Guda at UTSA, what are students' expectations? I mean, they have higher expectations than old people like me.
Students have higher expectations, plus they're really, really good at finding very, very efficient ways to be both cheap and lazy at the same time, which is exactly what we need from innovators today. For example, when they show up on campus, they kind of want the parking spot that's closest to the university. And those kind of solutions that they're already thinking of, one of the teams actually pitched that in our competition 2 years ago, would work just as well at the Alamo Dome or downtown. So with a lot of these students, they know the amount of technology that's accessible to them. They are trying to get things to talk to one another as much as possible. But more than anything else, they want things, like you said, to seamlessly interact and interface. And it may not be a new application as much as it is using things that are pre-existing to kind of finding the most adaptable way around town.
And relieving the stress of uncertainty also, if you have some sort of app that will give you the status of what traffic is or what parking is or how many churros they have left at a certain booth, then that takes, you know, then you're more willing to go out and try and get that last churro if you know that it still exists. And that's something that, you know, technology, that's how technology can improve quality of life. Here's another caller. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and Carol is on the line. Hi, Carol. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. My question was, this is a little more of a broader-based topic, but is there a type of website that you guys could develop that would take the information off of our government statistics websites about different representatives and how they have voted on different issues in the past, that would make even an educated voter like myself, it's difficult to go on when it's time to vote and look through all of the propaganda and advertisements out there to see how a representative has actually voted in the past and look at the different bills that have come to the House floor, what was kind of buried in them, and how each of the representatives voted. Is there a way to take the data that we already have and make that more user accessible?
All right, Carol, I appreciate your call. And so that's not exactly what we're talking about here. We're talking about deliverable of services, but for the city and these specific challenges. But Joyce, you know, people are turning to technology to try and help them understand what the heck is going on with these politicians.
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely to keep it within the realm of the CivTech SA project. Carol, that's a really great question, and it's definitely civic tech-oriented. Civic tech is a pretty broad, general sort of category that talks about the different kinds of services or points of accessibility for residents. And so the CivTech SA project, particularly from the residency perspective, is more focused on the internal departmental challenges that need to be overcome and how we can tap into that from a community perspective. But there are civic tech initiatives. So the Austin Tech Alliance, for example, are diligently working on putting something very similar together, as well as improving access to voters. I'm sure that there are several initiatives here in San Antonio where people are already looking at streamlining that. I do think there is a way to potentially compile that information. However, that's not something that the CivTech SA project is currently looking at.
And I hear about the term data governance also, and people trying to figure out how we can use data to achieve better representation. And this is one way, you know, using sensors and data at how things are being delivered. But another one is finding out if your representatives are actually representing you. And so Teja Aguda at UTSA, can you talk about how this is what students want? I mean, they're very tuned in, but they have limited time and they know that there's a lot of spin.
There definitely is. They're also overwhelmed with the amount of data. I mean, we've been talking about big data for a while. We've also begun to realize the kind of challenges that come with it. At a university level, one of the tactical focus areas that the university has embarked on is looking at information security. So that would kind of go hand in glove with all of this. With the amount of big data that cities and countries are putting online, how do you actually tackle the cybersecurity that comes with it? And we're working on training the tech workforce for that area as well at UTSA. So there's definitely a big footprint on campus.
We keep throwing around the word smart city. Is there an accepted definition of what a smart city is, and how do we get to be one, Jose de la Cruz?
So I think every city has looked at what problems exist in their city and kind of defined it differently. I don't think there exists one general definition, you know, for everyone. I think here at the city of San Antonio, what we've looked at is how we could build a community that is inclusive, resilient, and connected. And so that's kind of our vision when looking at the different types of technology that are out there. We want it to be inclusive of everyone in the city, regardless of where you live. We want our city to be a resilient city. And we also want our city to be a connected city. So as we've looked at these challenges and others, that's kind of been the guiding principles that we've been going by.
And so, Joyce Dooley, at CivTech SA, is there a race among municipalities in America to become a smart city, and why?
I mean, most definitely. The smart cities industry is booming, and cities all over the place recognize that they have quite a bit of data that could be analyzed and then interpreted to create efficiencies, to better streamline services to residents, as well as improve the overall quality of life for residents. The problem is that there's a lot of data to sift through. You know, 90% of the data that is currently in existence was generated in the last 3 years, and we're now moving towards zettabytes worth of information, and that's not just within cities. That's just across the globe. And so when you're looking at just the sheer amount of data that you're dealing with, it really does require a lot of strategy and prioritization in terms of how you're going to sift through all of that and then protect all of that. And then how would you release it, you know, in a smart city where you've got open data pools for your community and residents to come in and help solve those challenges? It's just a lot of things that need to get put in place prior to something like that being open. But competitively, this program is the only one like it currently here in the nation. So the STIR program focuses on the civic tech initiatives between startups and the municipalities, you know, in San Francisco. We have an education component that also is built on top of our residency program. So we're not just trying to solve the challenges that exist right now, but we're also trying to lay the foundation to solve challenges for the future, as well as create job opportunities for our students in the next few years.
And the opportunities of the future would be using the new tech that's coming online, like augmented reality and
Most definitely. You can layer augmented reality into all kinds of things. So I was at the Smart Cities Connect conference in Austin over the summer of last year, and there was a really great visual presentation on how you could utilize VR and AR on top of, say, like the plumbing and infrastructure and electrical infrastructure within a city. And so not only do you get a top view, like a 3D projection of sort of what the top part of the city looks like with all the different sized buildings, but you could even just standing in front of you have a table basically where it also shows you all of the plumbing infrastructure for the city as well. And if you were to pair that with the kinds of information like data, the data from like SAWS, if SAWS had connected stuff on their pipelines and there was a leak, you could sort of have this 3D image of where that leak was and be able to see it happening in real time.
And then come up with solutions.
And then come up with a solution. And rather than having to break ground and figure out where exactly that is, you could locate it, and then you would know exactly where you need to dig.
Or wait for a complaint. You know, wait for somebody to call in. Before the guy knows.
I don't think that the point of that would be to wait for someone to complain.
Yeah, no, you got to be before
it would
the
make
complaint
us very
comes
proactive.
In. Yeah, that's exactly. Okay, we're going to continue. The conversation continues. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Tech Solutions for San Antonio's Future. This is The Source. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about tech solutions for San Antonio's civic challenges. If you've got a question or a comment, the number is 210-614-8980. Alberto is on the line. Alberto, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. How you doing?
All right. Go ahead.
We're actually working on the challenge right now and just really excited to see the city reaching out to the private sector to see how we can incorporate the technology we're using in our businesses to streamline the city and make it a little more user-friendly.
Anything else you want to tell us about? Is it top secret what you're working on there, Alberto?
No, not top secret. We actually launched a similar software solution with our company, Braunston Mobile Homes, and it's really designed to streamline the process of buying a home. You know, there's a lot of paperwork, and it can sometimes be a little scary for folks that are first-time home buyers. So we're applying to help the Department of Human Services with their application process for folks looking for utility assistance. It's a very similar process to buying a home, and we're very confident that the solution we use internally will help the city and its residents.
Alberto, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate that. And so, Joyce, Julie, any reaction?
Yeah, no. So, you know, one of the best things about my job is that I get to work directly within the community of entrepreneurs and stuff. And so I'm not on the selection committee. I need to make that very clear. I have absolutely no sway whatsoever. But it's really exciting to see what Alberto and his team have been working on for, you know, the past year. And then to know that they're coming forward to apply for this program is just doubly exciting for me.
So what you win is... there's no money, right?
Well, so there is money set aside to potentially purchase the solutions. So the 16-week residency is more of a volunteer basis where the residents that are accepted get to work very closely with the city. They have access and insight to data that not necessarily everyone will. There are office spaces provided should your team need it, and potentially equipment depending upon, you know, what the needs of the team is. But ultimately, this is one about helping the city figure out what's going on and how best to move forward. And then during the demo day is when they will basically pitch what they've been working on to the city and the community at large, and the city may purchase those
So
solutions.
You could sell your product to San Antonio and maybe even to other cities.
Yeah, so one of the really cool things about this is, you know, San Antonio is notably known for being a very conservative town when it comes to innovation. However, this is a very innovative and bold step for the city. And so if you can get a contract with the city where they purchase your solution as a startup, that gives you a lot of leeway into moving your services to other cities.
And so really what's being offered, Jose, is the City of San Antonio, City Hall, is kind of opening a door and allowing tech entrepreneurs an opportunity to see how things work on the inside, because there's that gap. How does the city work? What are the problems? You know, there's certain things about a city culture and city things you have to follow, and then entrepreneurs have to make that gap, and this is an opportunity to do that. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, yes, there's certain processes that we need to follow. And I think probably one of the biggest things that I hear in my role is, you know, I've got a solution for this or I've got a solution for that. If only the city would open up its doors and allow us to do this for them. This is that opportunity, right? So what we're really excited about is bringing entrepreneurs into the fold, showing them how the process works on a day-to-day basis. Because at a very surface level, when you see it just kind of from the outside looking in, you might not know all of the intricacies that are involved with the set process. And from our standpoint, what we're looking for is how can we improve that process? Maybe there's some things that we're not thinking about, or there's some technology that helps us to completely automate. So it's a really exciting opportunity. With the caller, Alberto mentioned the challenge that he's working on. I mean, that has an opportunity to help people in need. And so what he was talking about was our utility assistance program with our Department of Human Services, where folks apply for utility assistance for energy or water assistance when they're in need. So if he can help us or somebody else can help us streamline that process to where those folks, it's seamless to them, I mean, that's kind of a game changer, and that's what we're excited about here.
But there are people in San Antonio who feel totally comfortable with technology, like you guys, and there are people who feel like it's a whole another world, and they don't really have access to that. When San Antonio has an issue of the digital divide, is this something that's going to widen that gap? And how do we avoid that, Joyce?
Well, that's actually a really great question. I don't know that this is necessarily any of the projects that are currently being developed are going to increase the digital divide that exists. And this program is really specifically about engaging the community and finding ways to work best with them. So not only do we have stuff here through the residency program, as well as a couple of events coming up for entrepreneurs and startups who maybe don't quite fit with a residency, but would like to get involved and participate. We also have stuff for our students, and we're just really reaching out to our community to let them know that, one, we want to figure out how best to work with you, and two, here are the different avenues that the city has figured out.
And over at UTSA, Tija Guda, he's the Associate Director of the Center for Innovation, Technology, and Entrepreneurship. Do y'all see this as, this is an opportunity?
It's definitely an opportunity. And to me, most of these challenges, just by looking at them, are basically to increase accessibility. So whether the solution is digital or not, if more and more of the community finds the resources that the city has to be more accessible, it's definitely a great avenue for the city to be more inclusive in that sense. I mean, and I think of all of these as gateway opportunities. So with, for example, the human services part with access to electricity and water, I think there's opportunities in the future of maybe solutions using technology for either the city purchasing electricity when it's cheaper or water to be more accessible just by improving efficiencies in the system, which are an add-on to the challenge as posted. So this is a growing field from that perspective.
And here's another caller, and this is Maggie. And Maggie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I was just driving and I heard the topic and I wanted to call in and share this amazing book I read, which is exactly on point to what you're talking about today. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Innovative States by Anish Chopra.
We're getting some head nods, so yes.
Yes, sorry.
Awesome. Okay, so he was the prior chief technology officer, I think the first one appointed under the Obama administration. And the book was so inspiring on how new technologies can basically transform government. And you guys are talking about open data. And this is everything that he was talking about, the need to use open data to make our government not only more transparent, but also to have more efficiencies in the use of it. And what I wanted to talk about was this way of including the community and viewing a new focus on government, that it's no longer about big or small government, because it's so bipartisan when we get to that discussion. And it's more about breaking down the walls and embracing innovation for more bigger perspectives, and so we can get to better decisions.
All right, Maggie, thank you for that call.
Thank you.
And Joyce, do you want to add to that?
No, I think that Maggie's like spot on. You know, that's what a lot of cities and a lot of people have realized, is that there's really going to need to be some cross-pollination or intense collaboration between these different areas, between government, industry, and education, in order to kind of build the future that we all want. You know, there are lots of people making really great steps to do that, and the CivTech SA program in partnership with the city and Geekdom is just another way to do it.
So challenge number 7 has to do with San Antonio's waste management and trying to get away from, it says there's a paper-based data tracking system. That sounds a century old. And try and move that forward. And so Jose de la Cruz, what are y'all hoping to achieve?
Yeah, and so this one, we've got about 1 million carts that are currently in circulation, and if you look outside,
what do you mean cart? What is a cart?
So a cart, so it could be a garbage cart, which is the black one, if you have that. There's a green cart for the organics, and then a blue cart for the recyclables, the big bins.
Okay.
And so it's about tracking those. So missed carts or calls for carts is one of the biggest calls that we get into our 311 call center. And so this particular challenge will help our solid waste management department go from a very manual system that they use for tracking all of those carts to an automated system, and then hopefully being able to have a customer notification component as well. So this one's about efficiencies within that process and eliminating a lot of the manual steps, which we all know can cause errors, and then having a customer sort of notification piece at the end. So that's that civic engagement that we're looking for.
So this is a point of contact that someone who lives in the city has with city government. And so one of them is garbage pickup. And whether or not there's going to be effective, and there's always going to be a glitch in the system, and being able to smooth that over and make sure that the resident is going to get the service that they expect, and the city is able to provide that service in a timely, effective way. And coming up with innovative solutions using technology and data and sensors and feedback loops and stuff like that. Is that about it, Joyce?
Yeah, that's a really good way to sort of sum all of that up.
And this is just going to get better and better as sensors become cheaper, more available, and we have better algorithms and being able to chop through all that crazy data.
Most definitely. So I think that to build off of Teja's point earlier is that, these things are really foundational pieces. The total fruition and the seamless experience that we're all hoping for is not going to happen in the next, 5 years necessarily, but we're starting to lay the inroads now. And so the Internet of Things industry, and like you've got these connected device systems and networks, which is sort of what you piggyback on beaconing technology and pipeline monitoring and all of that, those are enablers. Because that in and of themselves is not enough. Deploying connected devices out into the world isn't enough. You need to collect that data, and then you need to do something with that data. And then the decisions you make on top of that is really kind of what we're hoping to get to.
So then my garbage bin could tweet at me, I'm broken. You need to get me fixed. Is that how that works? Or go tweets to the city?
Well, right. So we could be notified of it. So then we can then be a little bit more proactive in our approach, right?
All right. So that's the future of San Antonio, the future of technology, how to get more information. How can people get more information about CivTech program?
So you can go to our website at www.civtech-sa.com. You can also email us directly at civtechsa@geekdom.com. That is GEEKDOM.com.
All right. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.